Just keeping an eye on Dylan Alcott. Made a really good start in his semi-final against one of his long-term rivals, Andy Lapthorne. Currently got set point. He leads 5-2 in the opening set. Thanks to the super-fast charging all-electric Kia EV6. It's time to check in down at Melbourne Park with Brett Phillips. Brett, morning again. What an extraordinary day of tennis that was yesterday on both sides of the draw. Some absolutely amazing matches. Let's start with the one we probably aren't talking about that much because it finished so late and a lot of people probably didn't see the finish. But Stefanos Tsitsipas had to find every bit of fight he had to get over Taylor Fritz, who hadn't seen much of Taylor play, but geez, he gives the ball a fearful whack at times.
Yeah, good morning, Jules. It was a great match. Look, Taylor has taken some real strides in the last 12 months to become the number one ranked American male. He's been sort of part of that pack of, you know, Riley Opelka and Tommy Paul, Francis Tiafoe, who are all sort of getting inside the top 100. But yeah, Fritz has gone up another level. And it, you know, the team in tennis, we talk about it all the time, is just so important. You know, he engages, his dad was pretty instrumental when he was younger, setting the foundation, if you like. And then, you know, a guy called Paul Annacone comes along. You know, we've talked about him before, working with Sampras and Federer. He adds the technical and the tactical. And then, you know, Michael Russell, who played on the tour, who was, well, I hate using that word, journeyman, but he was, let's just say, good solid pro. Well, I like that better, yes. Jules. And he got the most out of himself. So he sort of brought the work ethic side, the physical side, because Taylor's always been a big player, maybe hasn't quite moved as well as he'd like. So now his movement is terrific. Those forehands cross-court, blistering rockets coming at Tsitsipas last night. And it ebbed and flowed, as you would expect, quality players at this stage of the tournament to have that sort of match. You don't have it on your terms all the time, and you just got to wait for a little opening. And, yeah, that little opening came for Tsitsipas to break and then sign it off. And he's all caught, as we know. He looks pretty sharp. He's going to be right in the frame again. We didn't quite have him top line of the betting coming in. He's an interesting cat, isn't he, Tsitsipas? I was commentating the first couple of sets last night, and he's got no idea about the serve clock, and and he had no idea he'd won the second set.
He ran up and served it last night at one stage. It was like local tennis.
And I reckon they've got to get on top of his dad, Apostolos, because this is a very common situation that he can't restrain himself from finger pointing and little gesturing, and you can't do it. Even though people think that, you know, it's ridiculous that you can't sort of just, you know, coach a little bit and you know, do more than just sort of nod and clap in the player's box. That's the rules. But, yeah, some chair umpires are a bit more Hitler on that type of stuff than others.
And what about, speaking of not knowing what the score was at a particular time, that Kaia Kanepi had that problem. She thought she'd won it and it was still only 9-7 in the tiebreak.
Yes. Well, I suppose, you know, you're in the moment. You're going at full tilt. Maybe you do lose a little bit of track. But, yeah, that was, well, lucky that match was moved last night. I mean, they had to, because otherwise the schedule would have been, out to 2, 3 a.m. in the morning. That turned into an absolute epic. So, yeah, Kaia Kanepi. Wow, 36 years of age. It's been a long time between drinks that she's even been in the second week of a major. So it just goes to show. Your windows open up at different times, and she's always been a very, very good ball striker, and you know, she brings enormous experience to the tennis court. But that really has summed up the week for Sabalenka. She's never had one match where she's been able to just dominate and dictate. She's been on the back foot, and the body language said it all. So, yeah, pretty meek exit for her last night in the end.
So before we get on to today's games, BP, so day off today for Stefanos Tsitsipas to recover after that 5-setter. And then he plays Jannik Sinner. Probably a lot of Australians hadn't seen much of him play. I hadn't seen much of him play. He looks like a young Gary Rowan. But, geez, he was fantastic yesterday. Just on Alex de Minaur, I mean, can he get to that level? I mean, there's a lot of good young players. You know, he's a couple of years younger, Sinner, than Alex. He seems to have more weapons, and we're seeing, you know, a couple of the young Canadians as well. Is there that concern with Alex that he's going to be a very good player, but he's not quite going to get to that level?
Yeah, it's going to be tough. That's the reality of what he's up against with his contemporaries. You know, his age, a fraction younger, a fraction older. He just doesn't possess as much easy power. Even though I think he's made strides in this tournament, Jules, and just getting through some service games a little bit quicker. Certainly hitting the ball a little harder. But yeah, Sinner last night. I mean, Italian tennis is flying at the moment. They've got some of the best coaches in the world. They actually teach the game really well to their players. And when you watch Sinner, who's just lean. In fact, we had a reference last night. He looks like Rusty from National Lampoon's Vacation.
I did see that on Twitter, yes.
And look, there's not much of him, but the way he constructs points, he shifts you around. He wrong-foots you. He cross-court, he'll go up the line. He's a beautiful player to watch in actually building a point and just knows when to pull the trigger. So he's coached by one of the best in Riccardo Piatti, who worked with a young Djokovic, young Gasquet, Raonic, and Ivan Ljubicic, who's been coaching Federer the last 2 or 3 years when Roger actually has got out on court. So, he's, to me, only heading one direction. That's north. I mean, he was someone we were looking at 16, winning challenger titles like Alcaraz. They've just had this rapid rise and they're not going, they won't be heading south, let me tell you.
Great match coming up this afternoon, BP. First of all, we've got Krejcikova and Keys in the first of the women's quarterfinals, but I think that should be a great match as well. But Sharapovalov versus Nadal is a really, really interesting match. Nadal the favourite, obviously. But how do you think this one's going to play out?
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. The two lefties, different generations. Can Dennis bring, big-time tennis to Rod Laver Arena? He's taken out Zverev, quarterfinal of the US a couple of years ago, Wimbledon semi last year. So he's, been building to be in these sort of situations. I think, certainly the way Nadal has played the last week, I mean, he's got all the experience. He'll relish taking on one of the next gen. I mean, these older guys love to be able to let that next gen know that, hey, we're still at a pretty good level and you've got to bide your time. So, Nadal's chasing 21. So there's so much to play for. And you could say, Dennis has, got nothing to lose. But, I mean, these are moments you don't know if you're going to get again. It's not just a given that you get to a quarterfinal or a semi-final. The competition is so hot and you've got to start from zero at every Grand Slam. So this is a huge opening for Dennis. Now, he plays with, little margin. His coaches are probably loving to play a little bit more percentage, but it's just part of him that he wants to, really penetrate the ball through the court, play close to the lines. And he's sort of got to, you've got to stretch Nadal a bit. You've got to get him, back because, Rafa's, got the speed as well to get forward and volley really competently. So, Dennis has got to shift him around and make life uncomfortable, which means a little bit of high-risk, high-reward type tennis. But he'll be up for it. He loves, the big occasion. You're back in the experience, but it wouldn't surprise me. I mean, Nadal at 35 is not just going to, reel off victories with ease. We saw it against Manarino in the first set, and Sharapova's a much better player than Manarino.
Well, speaking to Robbie Koenig before, who's going to join you in commentary tonight for Ash Barty's match, he was saying that probably the biggest danger to Ash Barty is if Jessica Pegula, A, can get off to a good start, and B, make it a really tight match. And maybe that might be the moment where the sort of weight of expectation might play on Ash a little bit. Do you think that's a fair call?
Yeah, I think for me, it's on the racket of Ash, because if she does all her bits right, then I think she's extremely, extremely hard to beat. It doesn't mean she can't be beaten. I mean, it's little things here, points here and there. It might just be one miss to forehand or a miss volley or a miss slice down the line. But I think if her serving numbers are up around, sort of 60-65% first serves, that's huge if she's holding her service games. And then, she can go to work, certainly off the ground. Pegula deserves respect, no doubt. I mean, second quarterfinal in a row at the Aussie, and she backed it up on tour last year with some really, really good results. So she stayed around the mark. But I still think, what's left in the draw, I don't see them, having enough enough tools, if you like, to dismantle Ash. And I just think she looks as primed as she ever has. And, she's just in the moment. She's going to work, rolling her sleeves up and getting the job done. And, I think, she's in really good nick. So I think the next match, if she got through and, you know, Krejcikova or Keys, whoever wins today, that would be interesting. I mean, Keys can blast you off the court, and Krejcikova is a bit like Barty, you know, really crafty and can play every shot in the book.
Hey, just so, quick, oh, sorry, BP. I was going to say, just quickly before we go, Garmon Fees has sort of been going about his business quietly, but it's been a great ride so far. Can he beat Matteo Berrettini?
He can, yeah. Berrettini, I mean, he served big the other night, so if his serve is on, that's a real handful. But Gale will be everywhere, he'll be acrobatic, he'll be covering the ground, he looks really good. A lot of people would love to see him keep going, but for me, Berrettini, just a bit bigger. On the hard court, he's had some really impressive results, I mean, on all surfaces, really. He's become a real top flight, top 10 player who's not going anywhere. So, yeah, I'll back in Berrettini with a slightly bigger game. Another match for Gale. He's, you know, mid-30s. Can he win seven matches in a slam? I think that's a question mark and whether he's prepared to go the journey. But, yeah, I think there'll be a bit of length in that one tonight.
Absolutely exciting time for Italian tennis and Canadian tennis with four of the remaining eight from those two countries on the men's side of the draw. BP, good calling again today, and we've all got our fingers crossed for Ash this evening.
Indeed. Thank you, Jules.